Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Chapter 24. And by now you should know what is in this 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, especially down through verse 28 that we have gotten through. But in this chapter, we find Jesus and his disciples, the apostles specifically, departing from the temple and the city of Jerusalem. And as they're departing from thence, they point out to Jesus the beauty and the magnificence of the temple and those buildings around. And Jesus proceeds to tell them that you behold all these things, you behold the beauty and the magnificence of this temple and the city. But he said, I say unto you that there shall not one stone be left upon another. And as they were ascending the Mount of Olives, they asked Jesus, when will this happen? When will this destruction that you're talking about, when will this take place? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? Three questions. Kind of formed in one question, but nonetheless three questions. And so Jesus begins to answer them and tell them that they need to take heed. They need to be alert. They need to be on guard because there are going to be many coming in his name claiming to be Christ. And they're going to deceive many, he tells them. And he says that you are going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Not only that, there are going to be famines. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be earthquakes. And he says, all these things are just the beginning of sorrows. They're just the beginning of birth pain. The beginning birth pains. And he said, goes on to tell them that after those beginning birth pains, they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted, to be killed for his name's sake. And he goes on to say that there are going to be many that are going to be offended of them, that they're going to be offended by the word which they preach, by the testimony which they live. That is, those in their own families, their own households, their own kindred, are going to deliver them up, are going to betray them. And then he says again, he says, there are going to be many false prophets that shall rise and shall deceive many. And this becomes so and becomes prevalent, more so it even in the death, the delivering up of his people to the death, going to become more prevalent as they enter into the tribulation period, that 7-year period of time. Many false prophets are going to come and deceive many. We've taken a look at the man of sin, the Antichrist, and his false prophet. Yes, many are going to be deceived. And he said, because iniquity, because lawlessness, and yes, you think this is the time that we're living in is a time of lawlessness now. You haven't seen anything yet. When the lawless one, the man of sin, comes on the scene, because lawlessness shall prevail, shall abound, love is going to grow cold. Even among, say, those that are the elect of God. But he that is saved shall endure to the end. Not only now shall the saved endure to the end of their lifetime, but during the tribulation period, those that are saved shall endure to the end of their life. But he says, and during that time, the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached again. And this time, not only to the Jew, but to the whole world. The gospel of the kingdom. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is soon to come. The King coming is soon at hand. In the midst of that 7-year period, you're going to see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. You're going to see him standing where he ought not to stand, where he ought not to be. And when you see that happen, the tribulation is going to get much greater. It's going to get much worse. And you need to flee. You that are in Jerusalem and Judea, you need to flee to the mountains. Pity the woman with child. Pity the woman who is giving nurse to her children, because that's going to slow them down, and their flight needs to be quick, needs to be speedy. Not only that, pray that it's not in the wintertime. Pray that it's not on the Sabbath. Both of those would slow down, would impede travel, and the tribulation is going to be so great. In fact, verse 21 told us that the tribulation would be great, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be again. Men think the times now are troublesome times, and they are. Men think in times past they were troublesome times, and they were. But none compared to what it shall be during the tribulation period. He went on to say, if those days were not shortened, that all flesh, man and beast, would be destroyed upon the face of the earth. But for the elect's sake shall those days be shortened. And then again, this is the third time he talks about false prophets and false Christ arising in those times. And this time he says that if it were possible, it's not possible, but if it were possible, they would even deceive the very elect. That's how persuasive they're going to be. But it's not possible to deceive the elect unto perdition. He said, "Behold, I've told you these things before concerning the false prophets and the false Christs." Last week we began looking at verses 27 through 31, and we said Christ's visible coming. Christ's visible coming. Let's read verses 27 through 31 this morning again. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And so last week we looked at verses 27 and 28. "For as the lightning cometh," just as the lightning comes and is visible, it is visible to all when it comes, "so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." And just as the lightning comes quickly, it strikes quickly, that quick shall the coming of the Son of Man be. "For because wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Keeping in mind that dealing with the second coming of Christ, and if you go back to the book of Revelation chapter 19, which we did last week, we find that this is the scenario. He summons the fowls of heaven to a great supper, to feast upon the dead bodies of the slain, that he, the conquering king, the Lord Jesus Christ, he that is faithful and true, the Word of God, shall destroy with a sword proceeding from his mouth, and the fowls of the air, the vultures of all kinds, are fed with the bodies of men. This morning, we're going to begin to look at verse 29. Verse 29, reading it again, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven of the heavens shall be shaken." I want to compare that with what we have in the book of Mark. The book of Mark in chapter 13. And in the 13th chapter of Mark, we want to read verses 24 and 25, which is very similar. "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken." Also looking with me at Luke, the book of Luke in chapter 21, another one of the synoptic gospels here, Luke chapter 21 and verse 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The time of great tribulation referred to after those days, immediately after the tribulation of those days. The tribulation of these verses that we've looked at preceding this train of thought, from about verses 9 through verse 26. It's a time which is yet future, was yet future when Jesus spoke it. It's yet future today. We're not in the tribulation today. We've looked at much of the tribulation and how bad it's going to be in the tribulation time in the book of Revelation, comparing it with what we have in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke 13 Mark 13 and Luke chapter 21. We've done a comparison. We've seen how bad it's going to get. While times are bad now, they definitely are not as bad as what it's going to be then. Thank God. It's not. So these times, these events are yet future that Jesus has just described to us. And the tribulation of those days that Jesus has described to us is to end when? Is to end at His return. In verse 27, we read in Matthew 24, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Verse 29 said, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days," verse 31, "and He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So we see that Jesus puts an end to the tribulation of those days. The tribulation of those days is those days that, as we said, as He has just spoken of in our preceding verses. And so verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Immediately. What's the word immediately mean? Well, it means straight away. It means at once. It means forthwith. Instantly. Without delay. Well, what's this allow for then? Does it allow for any delay at all? Does it allow for an extended period of time between the tribulation, the great tribulation that is to come, especially the last 3.5 years of that 7-year period of time, and between verses 27-31? Is there to be a delay? Not according to verse 29, not according to the meaning of the word immediately. There's no delay. It doesn't give space for any lapse of time at all. It's immediately. Those events are going on. The nations have gathered together against Jerusalem and Judea. And they're there. And when all these things take place, then immediately comes the Lord Jesus Christ. After some things first, and we'll be looking at those things. Instantly, at the end of this 7-year period of time, and especially the last 3.5 years that are so abominable and so the abomination of desolation. It doesn't mean much to you and I, but to a Jew it means a whole lot. As we looked at the abomination of desolation, he stands where he ought not to be. He goes in there and he offers sacrifice, and he ought not to be in there. That Jesus returns and he puts an end to the tribulation of those days. The tribulation is what? Such as the earth has never seen before, nor will ever see again. It is tribulation of those days, delivering his people, destroying the nations that have gathered against him. Keep in mind that the context is about the literal, visible return of Christ to the earth at the end of that 7-year period of tribulation. At the end of Daniel's 490th year, talked about the 70 weeks of 7 years, the 70 periods of 7 years. 7 years times 70 is 490 years, a 490 year period of time. The 483 years have been concluded with the first coming of Christ. But we're awaiting that last 7 years, the 7 years of great tribulation. There will be fearful sights. Think about the sights that we've been mentioning. There will be fearful sights and great signs in the heavenlies, giving signs, all these are signs. His coming is soon to come. There are signs which we're not seeing yet, but they will be seen in those days. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. He's told them about it. During this time, they're going to say, lo, Christ is here, lo, he's there. Verse 27 says, no, when he comes, every eye is going to see his coming, and it's going to be quick, like the lightning. There's not going to be time to say he's here or he's there. It's going to be that quick. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Let's look at some Old Testament prophecy concerning this period of time. The book of Isaiah in chapter 13. And look with me at, we'll begin our reading with verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. The word terrible, another word is tyrant. They're mighty oppressors. He's going to lay low the haughtiness of the mighty oppressors, of the tyrants. of those days. Also, turn with me to the book of Joel. The book of Joel. In chapter 2. Look with me down at verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You see, this almost in Isaiah and again in Joel, it almost reads concerning the events in heaven, the sun and the moon and the stars and everything, almost reads identical to what we have in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. A couple years ago,
we had a red moon. It's going into a red moon. I don't pay much attention to it.
And these naysayers got on there talking about the blood moon and citing passages like this and saying, coming to the world, as if we're in the tribulation now, as we're in those days now. You see, their philosophy was flawed. The timeline was flawed. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. We'll see what Revelation says about this same period of time. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 6, and look with me here at, we'll begin our reading with verse 12 of Revelation chapter 6. Pay attention to these words. Pay attention to these events as they happen. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. A great earthquake. Exceedingly great earthquake. Such as the earth has never known before. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hail, of hair. And the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the sands and in the rocks of the mountain. Do you see who hid themselves? I mean, all these mighty men, these powerful men, they were trembling for fear. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And who shall be able to stand? Our text in verse 29 of chapter 24 says, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This seems to me to be a great earthquake. A great earthquake such as the world has never before seen. A worldwide earthquake that shakes the powers of heaven. Look what it does to the heavens in verses 12 through 14. Did you catch that when we read it before? And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth upon that great earthquake occurring, the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth. The earthquake was so great that the stars fell out of the heavens to the earth as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heavens departed because the stars all fell, the sun is black, the moon is turned blood, which it can't shine because it's blood red, departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. What a time. I want to keep those thoughts in verses 12 through 14 there in mind and go back to the book of Luke and read what Luke said here in the 21st chapter in verses 25 and 26. Verses 25 and 26 of Luke, the 21st chapter. And there shall be signs in the sun. Signs. There's signs. In the sun. And in the moon. And in the stars. And upon the earth. Distresses of nations. With perplexity. The sea. And the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming of the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You can imagine. Can't you just imagine seeing these signs? Lo and behold, you're seeing these signs in the sun and the moon and the stars falling from heaven and the heavens being, likened to a scroll that is rolled up. No more there. Can you imagine the fear and the trembling that it would create? Well, we want to go back to the book of Matthew. We want to go on with verse 30 now. Matthew chapter 24. And look what he says in verse 30. Verse 29, having told us that immediately when the 7 years is up, the 3.5 years of great tribulation is up, the sun's going to be darkened. The moon's not going to give her light because she's going to be a blood moon. And the stars are going to fall from heaven. The heavens are going to be rolled up as a scroll. And it said, concerning that time, the powers of the heavens are shaken. They're literally shaken. I mean, you consider the sun a mighty power. The moon and the stars, everything that's up there in the heavens, mighty. I mean, men are worried about comets or meteors that could destroy the earth. That's how powerful they present themselves. And verse 30 says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Mark chapter 13, verse 26, and Luke chapter 21 and verse 27, they leave out about this that Matthew records for us. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. And they just go into the coming of the Lord Jesus in the clouds.
of the air. And then Luke makes the statement, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your eyes to heaven, for your redemption draweth nigh. The disciples had just asked Jesus what the sign of his coming, and what they meant by that is they meant his future visible return. Just as he visibly came to the earth the first time, they were expecting him to visibly come to the earth again. And they asked him what the sign of his coming would be. And here he gives them, shall we say, a most glorious sign. The most glorious sign of all. The sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Before we deal with that, I want you to think about this. Note that little word, then. Then signifies an order of succession. This happens, then this happens, then this happens. That's an order of succession that is taking place. And this succession is in the events predicted in this part of Jesus' response. So this sign is something that is going to happen. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. After the signs in the heavenlies. Verse 29. After the signs in the heavenlies, the distress of the nations, the disturbance of the oceans, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. I want you to notice another word. Note that it is sign. It is a sign of the Son of Man. It is not the Son of Man himself. A sign is just a semblance. It's something announcing one. It is not the Son of Man. It is only his sign of his coming. Notice that the sign is separated. What is it separated by? Well, it's separated by the mourning of the tribes. Notice the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven, then the mourning of the tribes of the earth, you see, and then the coming of the Son of Man. So, keep in mind, the first part of verse 30 is not the coming, it's the sign of the Son of Man is signified. The sign appears in heaven. The sign will not be on earth. It will not, it does not come to earth. The sign does not come to earth. The sign is in the heaven. Now it's important to lay that groundwork. Notice, appear. The word appear here in the Greek means to bring forth into the light. To bring forth into the light, or to shine. So something is being brought forth to light. What is being brought forth to light? The Son of Man, it's his sign announcing his coming soon. The Son
Think about this with me. The sun has been turned to darkness, as well as the rest of the heavenlies. The moon been turned to blood. The stars are falling from heaven. The heavens are rolled up as a scroll. What is the result of that? Total darkness. So, this sign appears at the time of total darkness. Listen, get this about the sign of the Son of Man. It would be so luminous, even if it was in the daytime, to stagger the eyes of man. But you take that brightness, that illumination that appears in total darkness. What a sign. Would it not be a fearful sign? I think it would. You know, like you've heard me say before, I've been down in some caves, and you go down into those caves, just about every cave I've been into. They like to, when you get down there, everybody gets down there and standing still. They like to flip off the lights. And it's total darkness. You're a mile down into the earth. And it's total darkness. Absence of all light. And somebody can strike a match. Just a little match can give off a whole lot of light to that room. Well, can you imagine the sign of the Son of Man? And the illumination thereof? Oh, this sign is going to be expressive of the second coming of the Son of Man to get earth. It is announcing He is coming. He is coming. And He is coming to earth to judge the nations and to rule. This sign will be manifestly clear, so to cause the tribes of the earth to mourn. Consider the scene that we have. We've read in weeks past in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, in verses 1 through 3. For the sake of time this morning, we won't turn there and read it again because we've read it in the past. But we see there in the scene in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, in verses 1 through 3. We see the way has been made, and all the armies of earth, of all the nations of the earth, have gathered around the city of Jerusalem and Judea. The land is under siege. They're to do battle with the people of God and with God. Brings on the battle of Armageddon. They gather together, and the heavens are darkened. They're rolled up as a scroll. There's total blackness. Then appears the sign. The sign of the Son of Man. Suddenly, a bright and shining cloud with fire shining out of it appears in the heavens. Descriptions that we've read from the Word of God of this sign. Bright shining cloud with fire shining out of it. I want to challenge you to compare. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. And this should resonate quickly with you. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 1. Remember the scene there? Ezekiel says in verse 4, He says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire." What a fearsome sight! What a fearsome sight! Total blackness upon the earth. And there appears in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, a cloud, fire enfolding itself, and it's amber out of fire. You've never seen a sight like that. We can't even imagine a sight like that.
What a fearful and awesome sight. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, in chapter 25. You see, that sign shall appear. The cloud, fire shining out of it, enfolding itself. And Israel shall cry out. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9. Look at what it says. "And it shall be said in that day, lo, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." Oh, yes. That is, to me, that is the cry of the elect at that scene, at that sign of the Son of Man in heaven. But it is the sign, it is the cry also of the unbelieving Israelite. Oh, they're going to tremble and they're going to mourn for Him whom they have pierced. They're going to realize that their salvation and their redemption